The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DKHOOPS. That's code DKHOOPS for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to NBA Pulse, a production of iHeartRadio and the NBA. I'm Sarah Kustak, NBA analyst for the YES Network, and today is Monday, January 22nd, and from our extraordinary core group of NBA journalists, we're joined now by NBA.com senior writer John Schumann. And Shu, you got your power rankings out. We got some movement in the top five. I like to see it. The Boston Celtics move up from the number two spot to number one. Los Angeles Clippers are up to number two from number five. Philadelphia 76ers make a jump up to three. The Denver Nuggets drop down to four. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, after losing two games in Los Angeles last week to the Clippers and to the Lakers, drop down from one to number five. Though, Shu, I want to get into your number two team for this week, the Los Angeles Clippers. Haven't talked about them too much. I just saw them. I was out in Los Angeles calling some Brooklyn Nets games. So saw their win over the Lakers and their loss in tough fashion against the Los Angeles Clippers team that had a tremendous comeback in the fourth quarter. Clippers now have won five of their last six games, 8 of 10. It's just impressive, not just with the way Kawhi Leonard is playing, and he, by all accounts, had a bit of an off night. Paul George, an off night. James Harden was very good. But the depth of this group and still how they're continuing to play the way they are with Ivica Zubac sidelined for a stretch here. Shu, tell me about this Clippers team and what you see in your perspective, not just what they're doing offensively, but defensively, and how they're such kind of just a balanced team in the way that they can operate.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think we've mentioned multiple times on this podcast that they started 0-5 with James Harden. Since then, they're 24-7, which is the best record in the league over that time. And I think, you know, last week was just, you know, they only played two games, but it was two impressive wins. One in that they beat the Thunder, and they were trailing late in that game and ended the game on a 14-2 run. And then obviously, as you saw, they were down 18 in the fourth quarter, down 11 with a few minutes left, and then finished the Nets off with a ridiculous 22-0 run.
Westbrook, Powell, big time finish for the Clippers.
I still find them super intriguing as far as lineups are concerned, just because, you know, they finished most of that 22-0 run came with James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Norman Powell, and Kawhi Leonard, which I guess means Kawhi Leonard was the five man in that on that lineup. And that lineup had only played like 12 minutes prior to Sunday. So I find them kind of interesting. I think that part of interesting, they obviously need their bigs. Ivica Zubac was having a great season before he got hurt. Daniel Tice and Mason Plumlee have both been more than serviceable. But I think they're kind of fun to watch when you start to put, you know, all the talent on the floor. Right. And I remember I was at their first game with James Harden in New York, and I just watched them run out onto the floor and thought, oh my gosh, this team has so much talent. And obviously it took a while for them to put it all together, but, they did, and they have the ability to be ridiculously good offensively, but I think defensively is where they've been a little bit more consistent. And God, I mean, they have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. It starts right there. But, you know, Ty Lue is just an excellent coach. He's always been very good. Even when they've been shorthanded over these last few years, when they've played without Leonard or played without Leonard and George, they've been really good defensively. Terrence Mann is a really good defender. He's a guy that they will sick on Steph Curry, and he'll sort of take Steph Curry out of a game as much as anybody can take Steph Curry out of a game. He'll do the same with, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And, you know, if that's not working, they put Paul George on him. And if that's not working, they put Kawhi Leonard on him. Like, it's just an amazing, just how much talent they have, especially when you consider both ends of the floor.
You just said it, and I think that's where them coming at you in waves and the length and the way that they could shrink the floor collectively, but also with individual defenders. And I think, too, just watching, you mentioned about Ty Lue. I've always been just so impressed and fascinated by him pushing the right buttons, how he gets teams to gel together, in-game adjustments throughout the course of a season. You even saw it, you know, Cam Thomas is going off a bit yesterday, and so he has them double a little bit, but the backline rotations, who he puts on them, multiple guys that he can toss at them. They were going small, so they could switch all across, but half the time they don't need to because guys can stay in front. But more so to me, you mentioned that about Harden. When I last saw them, I think it was one of the first games that Harden was traded over there. How James Harden has acclimated, and you saw this in Brooklyn when he first came over, of understanding his role, what he needs to do, when he needs to be a scorer, how to facilitate, just playing at such a deliberate tempo and pace. And then you got Westbrook that will come in, and all of a sudden it's like you are running in a different mode when you got Terrence Mann with you, or when Norm Powell comes in, and just what that second unit looks like. I think Westbrook has entirely embraced his role, understands where to be on the floor, where they're giving him the ball, just more decisive in ways that I think just benefit what they're doing offensively. And so overall, like I said, I'm impressed with how they've all worked together and the optionality that they have within their lineup. And hopefully Zubac comes back, because as you mentioned, they could use him, and he was playing so well for them. Clippers are team number two, the team right behind them that you have in your power rankings, Philadelphia 76ers. I'm talking about a big man. Joel Embiid has been out of this world. The 76ers are currently sitting third in the Eastern Conference right here, but Joel has just been tremendous. And I think watching just kind of what he's done with him on the floor and being healthy and off the floor, I'm curious how the numbers stack up with that and just the rate that he has been producing for the 76ers team.
It's pretty amazing. You know, for the season, the Sixers are 25-6 with Joel Embiid in the lineup. And that's 15-2 since Thanksgiving. He was out for a little bit. He came back last week. They won four straight games. And the offense, the scoring is just ridiculous. He scored 30 or more points in 20 straight games.
Embiid from the free throw line. An Embiid layup. Make it 26 for Joel tonight.
Over that 20-game stretch, he's averaged 36.8 in just 34.2 minutes. For the season, he's averaged You know, 35, is it? Let me check
yeah,
one more
35.
Time. 35 points in 34 minutes, basically. So his 30, he's per 36 minutes, he's averaging 36.9 points. That would be the second highest scoring per 36 minutes in NBA history, behind only Wilt Chamberlain's 37.4 per 36. So it's not that far off the highest mark in NBA history in 1961-62. Wilt averaged more than 50 points per game that year, but he averaged more than 48 minutes per game. He basically played
wow.
every minute,
wow.
including overtime, that season. And so, you know, the following year, he averaged more than 40 points per game, but he also averaged like 47 minutes. So when you think about it on a per minute basis, Embiid's is the second greatest scoring season in NBA history, which is pretty amazing.
Yep, 31 for Joel tonight, 9 rebounds, 33 for Joel Embiid as the Sixers' effort to put this game away.
And what's funny is that he's actually been slightly less efficient scoring this year than he was last year. But his usage rate is the third highest in the 28 years for which we have play-by-play data, trailing only one James Harden season and one Russell Westbrook season. So that, I mean, those are two guards, right? You know, two guards that have the ball in their hands all the time. You know, Westbrook went with Oklahoma City after Kevin Durant left, James Harden in Houston. This is Embiid, who's a big man who's got that, you know, high usage rate. So it's pretty amazing. I don't know what he's a terrific shooter. I mean, he's just so deadly from that mid range, and you know, defenders don't want to pressure him too much because they're going to foul him, or he's going to drive by them to for a dunk. And so they give him that, you know, 15 to 18 footer, and he's just so good at it. It's just become automatic. It's just a matter of the Sixers just getting the ball in that position. And when you have a guard as quick as Tyrese Maxey, that's not that difficult because he's going to bend the defense and, you know, allow Embiid to sort of sit into his spot and get the ball in position to score.
That's what's been fun to watch. And I also think give Nick Nurse credit for just being creative in ways how they operate so much when runs through him. As you said, he's averaging a career high 5.9 assists per game. So the fact that Maxey leads the team, you're talking about, as you said, with guards, with perimeter players, with primary ball handlers, you know, Maxey is 6.7 assists, Joel right behind him, but how they're able to complement one another and play off one another has been just tremendously fun to see how that has evolved.
I think we've talked about this before, but when you catch the ball in the middle of the paint or at the nail,
yep.
It's hard to double, right? Like if you double, every other teammate is one pass away. So that's the perfect spot for him to operate.
Mm-hmm. And you got shooters all around him. Speaking of Joel Embiid, we're going to get to your all-star voting, all-star starters. They will be announced this Thursday on TNT. Take a quick break and find out, Shu, who you voted for. Welcome back to NBA Pulse. Sarah Kustak joined by John Schumann. And Shu, it is about that time of year. All-Star is inching closer to us. On Saturday, you had to turn in your votes for the All-Star starters, which will be announced this Thursday on TNT at 7 p.m. Eastern. We will later find out about who the coaches vote in for the reserves. But Shu, can you reveal your ballot, your voting to us listeners?
All right, we'll start in the Eastern Conference because the front court was very easy. We just mentioned Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jason Tatum. I don't think anybody had to think twice about those three guys in the front court. I think the first backcourt spot was fairly easy with Tyrese Halliburton. But the second backcourt spot was tough. And for me, it came down to, you know, five different guys were in sort of I gave strong consideration to. And those are Jalen Brunson, Damian Lillard, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell, and Derek White. Derek White, doesn't have like the box score numbers that all those other guys do, but he's been super efficient. And the best team in the league has been much better when he's been on the floor than it's been with him off the floor. But ultimately, I went with Tyrese Maxey. I think he's sort of, it was between him and Mitchell. I think ultimately Mitchell had the slightly better box score numbers, 2 more points per game. But Maxey's been just on the better team. And at the time I was looking at it, Maxey had played in 9 more wins than Donovan Mitchell had. It was like 27 wins that Maxey had played in. Donovan Mitchell played in only 18. So I think that's what came down to it. So my backcourt was Tyrese Haliburton and Tyrese Maxey. And my front court, like I said, was Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, and Jason Tatum.
I love it. I like that logic. I like that thought. I am a huge, huge fan of Tyrese Maxey. I think if I had to put in votes, Donovan Mitchell likely would have gotten mine. Cleveland Cavaliers sitting fourth there in the Eastern Conference. A huge part of that has been Mitchell. You consider how much time Mobley has missed and Darius Garland, some of those things. And I know just Cleveland, how they've continued to put things together behind some super strong play of Jared Allen. But I think with Maxey being an all-star, but being a starter, I think I'd probably spread things out a little bit there. But I like it. I like it. There's a lot of good options. And to your point about those other four, pretty easy to lock in. What about the Western Conference?
Western Conference, two guys were written in pen before I even started. Those were Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I actually would have had them, like if we had like an MVP vote at the midpoint of the season, I think they would have been 1 and 2 in some order, ahead of Embiid, just because they played a lot more minutes than he had. But they were fairly easy. Gilgeous-Alexander in the backcourt, Jokic in the front court, and then Luka Doncic was a fairly easy pick for the second backcourt spot. With apologies to Steph Curry, of course. Doncic, is the foundation for one of the best teams in the Western Conference, just puts up absolutely huge numbers. So then it was just 2 front court spots in addition to Jokic, and I considered 6 different guys for those 2 spots. Ultimately I went with Rudy Gobert and Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I like this. I like this.
Apologies to Paul George, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. Davis and James, your team's in 10th or 11th place. I'm sorry. Just not good enough. And then, Durant, I considered pretty heavily. I think Phoenix, at the time was 18 and 16 in games that he had played. Rudy Gobert is the foundation for the best defensive team in the league. And that great best defensive team in the league has been so much better defensively when he's been on the floor than when he's been off the floor. So I didn't really hesitate too much with that one. I know the offense isn't there, but the offense is better than it's been, for most of the last few years. He's still an efficient scorer, when he does score. And like I said, the defense is just there. And I'm sorry, I know it's an all-star game, but I still consider defense when I'm voting for all-star starters. And then Kawhi Leonard, what can I say? He's the best player on one of the best teams in the league. And his numbers are great. His efficiency is great. And the Clippers have been much better with him on the floor than they've been with him off the floor.
Shu, I love you. I love your thought process. I can't vote Rudy Gobert into my All-Star starters ahead of LeBron James.
I get it. I just can't do it. But that's why we have 100 of us voting, right? I'm gonna be somebody that's partial to Rudy Gobert.
I appreciate it. I respect it.
About, they're the number one team in the West, right?
And have been for pretty much the entire season.
And it's not because their offense, right? Offense is in the bottom half of the league. They're number one team in the West. It's not because they're offense, it's because of the defense. And that defense is built around that one dude. And I know, like, even like you're going to get to the playoffs and it's not going to, his value is going to diminish a little bit. You're going to play a team that has, you could play Phoenix and his value isn't as much because those guys can hit, you know, mid-range jumpers. But if you want a good defense in this league over the course of 82 games, you know, you put Rudy Gobert on the floor and you put him in drop coverage and you're in good shape. He's also having a great, great season relative to his to last season and maybe even the season before.
You're saying all the right things. I though don't want to see the bedrock of a league best defense in the All-Star game. I want to see the league's all-time leading scorer. The Lakers are not in ninth place because of LeBron James.
The good thing about it is we're just voting for the starters, so I don't like stress it all that much. Like if they will follow up. Yeah, if my vote had something, you know, whether a guy made the roster or not. That would be a little bit more stressful, but I, you know, it's always like, well, this guy's going to get slighted in my vote a little bit, but he's still going to make the team.
I love it. And I love Minnesota. I'm a huge fan of Gobert. This is why I appreciate just being able to flippantly say things and not actually put it in pen. But Shu, as always, we appreciate you. We appreciate your time. Your power rankings are absolutely awesome. Nuggets, insight, just great stuff about every single team. So read that on NBA.com, and we will look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right, Sarah, thanks.
NBA Pulse with Sarah Kustak is a production of the NBA and iHeartRadio. Please rate, review, and subscribe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.